Blog Talk Radio.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews kill another Hebrew, this becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
The clock is counting down, please tell me what you're gonna do. Just being a witness, giving attention to the truth. They conspire to hide the identity from you. Many are offended, we exposing how they do you.
They don't love us as a whole, they don't love us. It's a small remnant of them that got some love for us. Love not in emotion, it's defined by the word. Read 1 Corinthians 13, been observed. Love always rejoice when justice is won. Cops killing Hebrews, there been no justice from one. If your soul don't ache, then you're faking the fun. All that love is undone. See, they thought that we was done.
They never seen me coming, young Israelite soldier. Knew that I would do something big when I got older. Turning up the heat, I feel this world has got colder. Every single burden, I just let it off my shoulder.
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews kill another Hebrew, this becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
Tell me where your conscience go when you came to this land. Ship look like a bunch of sardines sitting in the can. Some say that they African, others say American. Or they slap them both together, look at how we join the hands. This one for my ancestors under the attack. Picking cotton in the sun, long hours breaking sweat. Fly to me with Section 8, dump me in them projects. Imagine that, they just trying to keep the yoke up on our neck. But you found out you a brute, not another project. Why we curse? Cause our fathers tweaked and broke the contract. Let's reverse all these curses and continue being blessed. Kumbaya, hear ya, how we come by ya, I'm no longer distressed.
They never seen me coming, young Israelite soldier. Knew that I would do something big when I got older. Turning up the heat, I feel this world has got colder. Every single burden, I just let it off my shoulder.
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews kill another Hebrew, this becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome again, everybody, to another episode of Israel Now Radio Show. This is your host, Yahshua. First and foremost, I want to give all praise and honor to the Almighty Yahweh. Also, I'm going to give a few announcements. Come play another song and then get right into the show after that. So, first, we have the men's gathering in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's going to be going on this weekend, this coming Friday and Sabbath day, December the 21st and December the 22nd. All right, so if you can make it out, everything starts off with a meet and greet at 12 p.m. It'll be at Israel Now in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's where the meet and greet will be, at Israel Now Synagogue. It's located 270 Northland Boulevard, Suite 105, Cincinnati, Ohio. Then everything goes from there. So If you have, hopefully, you know, as many men around the country can make it, that'll be great, especially those in the, you know, immediate area, not traveling too far. But, you know, we're looking for everyone to come out, definitely. Also, don't forget about our brew out that we're having February the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, also in Cincinnati, Ohio. Just look at our Israel Now Facebook page. You know, we're continually to post it all the way up until that date. Just follow us on the Israel Now Facebook page. You'll be able to see that information as well. All right, so definitely the brew out is, you know, for, you know, the women are included. The men and the women can come to that, you know. So definitely we're looking for as many people to come out to that as possible. It's going to be a great time of music, festivities, Hebrew fashion show, displaying our culture. Definitely truth music. You know, of course, the Sabbath day, we're going to have some, you know, studying the scriptures and things like that. So it's definitely going to be a great time that you don't want to miss. All right, so those are the two events that we have coming up in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hopefully as many people can make it out as possible. All right, but with that being said, I'm going to play one more song and then come back and we'll get into some scriptures. And as always, you'll be able to ask questions or make a comment if you want to just by pushing the number one. But I'm going to play this next song, City of Refuge.
God, we know it, 'cause I cannot hide from you. Running and running never got me nowhere, 'cause I know you are my refuge, city of refuge.
Who can I run to? seeking an escape. I was so deaf, such a brat out of place. Heart jagged like a rock harder than your face. Get shots of the word, narrow path, never swerve. I don't kick it, hypothetic, all action like a verb. I can see the promise, all I have to do is bend the curve. Trolling for the souls, Torah cheat code. Kicking it with bruises, how I get my reload. Chosen seat in Detroit, then my peoples. Y'all's house in Louisville, I love them equal. True bruise, serving y'all, rested in the sheepfold. We are one in fact, spiritually attacked. Marching towards Zion, we are never looking back. Sun scorching by and in your wings shade us from that. We thank you, Abba Yah, cause you never fail. Staying on track, never be derailed.
Again, shalom, shalom to the listening audience. So, yeah, we're just going to, you know, have a little talk today. Anybody can push number one and get on the line with me, ask a question, make a comment, whatever you want to do. If you just want to say shalom, that's cool as well. All right, so what's the deal with maybe a few scriptures today? I was thinking about touching on the book of Acts chapter 10, you know, just go through that, get a little bit of understanding, things like that. But first I'm going to go to my first caller who's online, area code 586. Shalom, shalom. You on the air? Can you hear me? All right. Oh, okay. I can hear you now.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Can you hear me? Air code 586. Can you hear me? All right, I may try to come back to you. So, yeah, like I said, I was thinking about touching on this. Got a lot of stuff that we'll be touching on, you know, at the shows each and every week, just trying to catch up on a lot of things. But, you know, and especially some of the things that some of y'all asked me about, I'm going to try to touch on some of that stuff in the very near future as well. Some of the different questions that people ask me to do shows about and things like that, I'm going to definitely try to do them in the upcoming weeks. But the book of Acts, chapter 10. A lot of y'all may be familiar with this chapter. This is the chapter that deals with Cornelius and how he prayed to the Most High always and how the Most High, you know, heard his prayers. And I'm going to just go into, you know, just bring some understanding out concerning this chapter and start at verse 1 and just read on down and we get the context and pretty much just see what was going on in this chapter. All right, so Acts chapter 10, I'll begin at verse number 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared Elohim with all his house, and gave much alms to the people and prayed to Elohim always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of Elohim coming in to him, and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before Elohim. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Verse 9, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while he made ready, he fell into a trance. All right, so Peter is hungry now. It says while he would have eaten, but he fell into a trance. All right, verse 11. And he saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him. And it had been, or as it had been, a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice unto him, or a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. All right, so Peter is in a trance or having a vision, and a sheet is let down from heaven with all type of unclean animals in it. And the voice come to Peter and says, Arise, Peter, kill and eat. Because remember, Peter was hungry right before he fell into this trance. And what did Peter say? Not so, Lord, because I have never eaten anything common or unclean. So Peter kept the dietary law his whole entire life. He even kept the dietary law after the Messiah died, was resurrected, and seated at the right hand of the Father. So obviously, Peter did not think that now, since the Messiah has rose from the dead, he can now eat unclean food now. It literally makes no sense. And by the context of this verse or this chapter, we can tell that that's not what Peter thought. All right, so let me pick up at the 15th verse. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What Elohim hath cleansed, that call thou not, or that call not thou common. So the voice spoke again and said, What I have cleansed, do not call it common. Verse 16, This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. So this was done three times that Peter said, you know, he was not going to eat anything common or unclean, and the voice spake unto him to eat it. That was done three times. Verse 17, Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So now that was done three times, right? That Peter was told to arise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter denied three times. And soon as he came out of the trance, who's coming to his door? The men are coming to his door that were sent by Cornelius. All right, so pick up at the 18th verse. And call and ask whether Simon, whose surname is Peter, were lodged there. Verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Now, how many men seek him? Three men is seeking him. But the scripture said that that vision, it was done three times, where he said, Arise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, No. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, No, a second time, and then it came a third time. And immediately as he came out of that vision or trance, these three men come to his door, all right, to speak with him. And the Spirit told Peter to go with them, doubting nothing. Don't doubt anything, all right? So the Spirit is letting Peter know, look, you're supposed to go with these men. I have something for you to do. You're supposed to go with these men, all right? So that's a lesson in and of itself. You have to be listening to the Spirit of the Almighty within you. And every action that you take as you walk throughout life, you have to have a quietness within yourself where you can hear what the Almighty is telling you to do, all right? Even in the midst of a city where everything is going on in and all around you, you have to have that quietness and that inner peace where you can hear the Almighty Spirit speaking to you, and you can hear what the Almighty will have you to do. All right, and it won't be audibly. It will be the Almighty's Spirit speaking to your spirit, and it's a connection there, and you will know what the Almighty wants you to do in certain situations. All right, through that Spirit. But picking up at the 20th verse, it says, or the 19th verse, I'll go back to there. It says, while Peter thought On the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Verse 20, Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So the Spirit let him know that these men were sent by the Spirit. All right, verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feared Elohim, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from Elohim by an angel, or by a holy angel, to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. All right, so Cornelius sent them to find Peter, to hear words from Peter. Verse 23, Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. All right, so this is what Cornelius did when he seen Peter. He fell at his feet and worshiped him. All right, and what did Peter say? But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But Elohim has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. All right, so Peter is telling these men of another nation, because Cornelius was a Gentile and the people that he sent were Gentiles that worked for him and worked under him. All right, and so that's why the Spirit had to tell Peter, go with them doubting nothing, you know. And so since these men were not Israelites and these men were Gentiles, so that's why it says in verse 28, again it says, And he said unto them, Ye know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. All right, so if these men, if Cornelius was an Israelite, Peter would have never made that statement that it is unlawful to be with a fellow Israelite from whatever tribe, from the northern kingdom. If you're from the southern, that's not an unlawful thing. All right, there's nothing unlawful about that. That's what we're supposed to do, to seek the lost sheep of the house of Israel, even though there may have been friction between the southern and northern kingdom at that time. It is not an unlawful thing. All right. So let's go to the 29th verse. Or actually, let's finish up at the 28th verse. It says that the latter part, But Elohim has showed me, thou shalt not call any man common or unclean. So how and when did the Most High show Peter he should not call any man common or unclean? He showed him earlier in the vision. So at this point, Peter realized what that vision meant. He knew that that vision was done three times, and then immediately three European men came to seek after him. And he knew the three times was representative of each one of these three men that was about to come to his door. So that's why he said, The Most High showed me not to call any man common or unclean. The Almighty showed him through that vision. Peter recognized that vision had nothing to do with now he can eat unclean food. That vision had something to do with the Almighty is about to clean these people up. All right, and the Almighty is about to have these people to receive salvation through coming through Peter. All right, coming through the Israelites, who that's the protocol throughout the scriptures. The Almighty has given his word to Israel, his statutes and judgments unto Jacob. He has not dealt so with any other nation. So what does that mean? If the other nations want to get the word, they have to come to the people who the word was given to. And the word was given to Israel. It's our duty and it's our responsibility to teach this word. And we teach it like no other nation on earth. All right. Everyone else that as a whole that has tried to handle our scriptures That's how we got into major downfalls, all right? That's why our people is going to church every Sunday right now today, following all these different religions, and none of them don't make no sense, and none of them don't understand these scriptures at all. All right, the 29th verse. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for, and asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a certain man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of Elohim. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are ye all here present before Elohim to hear all these things that are commanded thee of Elohim. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that Elohim is no respect of persons. All right, so now we see the context of this verse that many people quote all the time, that Most High is no respect of persons. So the context of this verse is saying when it comes to salvation, the Almighty is no respect of persons. Anyone can have salvation. All right, because look at the next verse. It says, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted by him. So that's what Peter is saying. The Almighty is no respect of persons, but in every nation, any individual, not a whole entire nation, but any individual out of any nation that fear the Almighty and worketh righteousness is accepted by the Almighty. That's what the Most High is saying here. That's what Peter is saying through the Spirit here. All right, verse 36. For the word was Elohim sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Yahushua Christ. He is Lord of all. Verse 37. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism of which John preached. Verse 38. How Elohim anointed Yahushua of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for Elohim was with him. And we are witnesses of all things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. All right, so all these things happened to the Messiah. Verse 40. Him Elohim raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of Elohim, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of Elohim to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And the word quick there just means alive, all right? Verse 43, to him gave all the prophets witness, or to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So the prophets bear witness of the Messiah, because they prophesied about the Messiah all through the scriptures. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. So now the Israelites, when it says in verse 45, and they of the circumcision, that means the Israelites, which believed, these Israelites actually believed in the Messiah. They had faith. These were righteous men. They were astonished. Why? As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out. So they was astonished to see the Almighty put his spirit in these Gentiles. All right, the other Israelites were astonished by that. And again, just going back to what Peter said earlier, those in every nation, anyone, any individual that fears the Most High and worketh righteousness is accepted by him. And this is what we're seeing right here. All right, this is exactly what we're seeing. All right, so pick up at verse 46. For they heard them speak with other tongues and magnify Elohim. Then answered Peter, can any forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? So now Peter is saying, look, they got the Holy Spirit. We need to baptize them. Can any forbid that they should be baptized? All right, so now they're talking about the baptism. And these are non-Israelite. These are Gentiles. All right, so everything is to Israel first and then to the nations. It's to Israel first and then to the Greek. To the Jew first, then to the Greek. That's the protocol because we are the Almighty's children. So everything, as the Messiah said, let the children first be fed. All right, so the chosen seed, the children of Israel, we come first. But that doesn't negate anyone else being able to come through the door, anyone of any nation that fears the Almighty and worketh righteousness or what? Accepted by him. All right? So, again, they were astonished by that. Verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. All right, so as we read in that and we get into this, you know, it's very, very self-explanatory, you know. So a lot of people will try to take the stand because a lot of people are learning from people that just don't have the spirit of the Almighty, people that just don't understand these scriptures, you know, because a lot of people will make the claim and say, well, no, that's talking about the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom were called Gentiles, all right? And so the northern kingdom of Israelites is not called Gentiles in the scriptures. Or they will say that, well, they're talking about Israelites who did not believe. Any Israelites that did not believe were called Gentiles. That's a major teaching out right now. And that teaching is totally in error. It's totally inaccurate. All right. In the scriptures, the Jews that did not believe were not called Gentiles in the New Testament. The Jews that did not believe were called Jews that did not believe. They were called unbelieving Jews. All right. Gentiles comes from the, in the New Testament, the Greek word ethnos. Ethnos actually means one of another nation. All right. But let me go to Acts chapter 14. Let's see if we can clarify this Gentile thing. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Acts chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. It says, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. So they went both together, where? Into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake, and they spake, where? In the synagogue of the Jews. That a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So there was a great multitude of the Jews that believed and a great multitude of the Greeks that believed. Now, if some of these Jews were unbelieving at first and to this point, they're still Jews. They still would have been called Jews. Now watch the second verse. It's going to clarify everything. Check this out. It says, but the unbelieving Jews... Well, I thought the unbelieving Jews would have been Gentiles based on a lot of people's assumption. It says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. How can you have unbelieving Jews stirring up Gentiles? When they'll try to tell you unbelieving Jews are Gentiles. A Jew is by ethnicity. They're from the tribe of Judah. They're from the southern kingdom. The unbelieving Jews, they just didn't believe. All right, we see them every day. I'm on my family members, our aunts, our uncles, our cousins. They don't believe nothing we try to tell them. They are unbelieving Jews. because they from the Sunday kingdom and they don't believe. They don't all of a sudden turn into Gentiles. You can't change your race. You can't change your ethnicity. All right? You're either a Jew that's obedient or you a Jew that's disobedient. It's as simple as that. All right, so verse 2 again says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So the unbelieving Jews start stirring up the Gentiles and made the Gentiles' mind evil against the brethren. All right, so that verse clearly shows that in the New Testament scriptures, Jews that did not believe were called unbelieving Jews. They were not called Gentiles. All right, so just briefly touching on this Acts chapter 10, which is a very great scripture to go into. Just and another thing I want to bring out, I know a lot of people are, you know, of the persuasion that it is talking about the northern kingdom and things like that. And the only reason why, because it doesn't make sense for people to think that, the only reason why is because of, you know, people are learning these days from YouTube videos instead of doing real study and then learning from, you know, a lot of that One West teaching, which is like totally off. But I'm going to give you a little history about the One West teaching on this particular topic right here. Acts chapter 10, this particular topic that I'm talking about of Acts chapter 10 and Cornelius being a Gentile, meaning a non-Israelite, all of the original teachers of One West, who they call the seven heads, who originally taught these guys, they all taught this chapter the exact same way that I just taught it. They originally all taught it like that, and they never changed it. The original teachers from Misha, Lahab, all the original, who they call the seven heads, they taught them Acts chapter 10 the same way I taught it. So you're probably wondering what happened. How come IUIC, GOCC, ISUPK, GMS, how come all these people that come from them and learn from them don't teach it that way now? You know, except for the House of David is the only one that's still teaching it that way. So what happened was there was one guy that came, you know, through GMS, and he brought out this whole new teaching, and they kept going back and forth with it, and they just end up siding with his way, and they went with it, you know, and it was pretty much it. You know, and a lot of times, you know, those type of congregations, they go with that. Anything that promotes, you know, hatred towards any other nation, they just going to roll with it. And that's literally what happened. But when you literally read this scripture, it's very, very clear that, you know, these Gentiles of Cornelius, the Gentiles in Acts chapter 15, are non-Israelites. All right. So just wanted to touch on this chapter, bring this out, and I think this Acts chapter 14 and verse 2 is a great scripture to definitely substantiate the unbelieving Jews and the Gentiles to let us know they're two different categories. They're not one and the same. They're definitely not one and the same. I'm going to try my my phone line again. Never mind. I think my caller dropped off. They had a question. So, all right. So, anybody else just want to speak? Push number one. I'll get you on later. All right. So, anyway, you know, just getting back to this Acts chapter 10. Again, a very great topic. Just delving into everything in this, because this is one of the chapters when we really understand and get into the dynamics of Acts chapter 10. This is one of the chapters that pretty much sets up the understanding of the rest of the New Testament scriptures that came after this chapter. All right, so this Acts chapter 10 is one of the key chapters to understanding the things that are going to come after the book of Acts. When you understand Acts chapter 10 and you understand it properly, and then it connects you directly to Acts chapter 15, and you read Acts chapter 15, the whole entire chapter, and you understand everything that went on in that chapter properly in its context, those two chapters, by the understanding of those two chapters, will let you understand Romans, You'll understand Ephesians, Galatians, and all these different books that Paul wrote. You will understand those in context. When you do not understand Acts chapter 10 and you do not understand Acts chapter 15, you will not understand any of the books that Paul wrote. And that's very important because everyone that you find that do not understand these chapters, they go to Paul and they come out with all type of stuff that Paul never said. All right? They come out with all type of stuff that Paul did not say and or didn't mean because they didn't get the context correct. All right? So you have to know who's talking and you have to know who the writer is writing to or who the writer is talking to or speaking to. And different things like that, really, to understand this whole chapter. So that's why Peter let us know that, hey, Paul said some things that was hard to be understood, that those that are unlearned wrestle with to their own destruction. So he let us know who's actually are the ones that are messing up Paul's books. Only the ones that are unlearned. Well, how do we know who the ones that are unlearned? The ones that are unlearned, they wrestle with Paul's books to what? Their own destruction. So anyone, and I'm talking to the Christians out there, that are using Paul's books to justify not obeying what the Almighty told us to do, you are wrestling with those books to your own destruction. Why is it to your own destruction? Because anytime you disobey the Almighty, you are doing it to your own destruction. So every time that we come to our people and say, hey, the Almighty said don't eat pork, what's the first thing out of their mouth? Paul said, you're wrestling with Paul to your own destruction. Hey, the creator of heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, said to not eat catfish. Paul said, that's the first thing they're going to say. Because why? They don't understand what Paul is saying. They don't understand the context. They don't understand that Paul is not talking to them. All right? And that's very, very important. So, hey, when we come with him and say, the Almighty blessed and sanctified the Sabbath day. He commanded us to keep it forever throughout our generations and in all of our dwellings. Meaning every landmass we live in, we're supposed to keep the Sabbath day. Meaning throughout our generations, every generation is supposed to keep the Sabbath day. When one generation has sons and daughters, they're supposed to keep it. When they grow up and they have children, that generation is supposed to keep it. The next generation, so forth and so on, is supposed to keep it. As soon as we tell our people this information and as soon as we show our people these scriptures that undoubtedly say exactly what we're saying, what's the first thing they say? Paul. But Paul said. Paul is the first thing out of their mouth. And Paul was actually a righteous man that kept the Sabbath day himself. Paul was a righteous man that kept the dietary law himself. Paul was a righteous man that kept the feast days himself. All right, but every single time they go to Paul because, again, they wrestle with Paul to their own destruction. All right, so when we really analyze what's being said as far as wrestling with his writings to your own destruction, it can't be talking about those of the Israelite movement. It can't be talking about us. Why? Because we don't wrestle with Paul to our own destruction. Why don't we wrestle with him to our own destruction? Because what we teach is to actually keep the dietary law that the Almighty commanded us to keep. That cannot be wrestling with Paul to your own destruction because there's nothing wrong in refraining from eating unclean meat. If you do not eat pork, if you do not eat shrimp, and you do not eat catfish, the things that the Almighty said not to eat, there cannot be to your own destruction. The Almighty is not going to take anyone on Judgment Day and punish them for not eating pork and punish them for not eating catfish. So it's not to our own destruction. All right. And that's very, very clear. So it don't get no more clearer than that. It's just our people are still operating, as it says in the scripture, they're operating by the spirit of error. The scripture says, the spirit of error operates in the children of disobedience, and that's our people, all right? They refuse to seek knowledge. They refuse to listen to those that mean them good, and it's just like in the days of Noah. How many times was Noah building their ark and telling all the people? 120 years, and they didn't listen,
All right, and they kept going about their business. They kept eating and drinking and married. They kept doing all this other stuff, just living their daily life, worried about getting money and more greed. And every day, that was the Almighty's grace right there, that it took them 120 years to get it all together. That was grace right then and there. They think grace means not, you're never going to be punished. The grace was 120 years. For those that don't keep the law, that's listening to the sound of my voice now, this is your grace time right now. Every day that you wake up and the Almighty allow you to wake up, that was your grace time. But the problem with that is you never know when it's going to end. You never know when it's your last day. So you best hop on board yesterday as soon as possible, as soon as you hear the sound of my voice. All of these Christian churches is not the way to go because they teach nothing but tradition. Pagan tradition, they teach nothing but lies. They teach nothing but falsehood from the inception, you know, because it's all built upon not keeping the law. All of Christianity, the basis of Christianity says, do not keep none of those laws, none of those covenants, none of those agreements that your nation made with the Most High. That's what it's all about. It's all about that. And then after that, it's all about, now how can I get some money? You know, so are people definitely going to have to wake up and wake up to this truth one way or the other? All right, so you better wake up before it's too late. And that's the message that we want to tell to the people. You know, wake up before it's too late. But let me hit another, if I go to the book of Revelation chapter 22. I'm going to touch on this. I think real soon we probably on this show are going to have to bring out also, that's kind of been on my mind a little bit lately, especially since 2019 is hitting and I'm seeing so many people talking about, you know, 1619 and 2019. I think I'm going to have to bring something out concerning that 400-year prophecy that the Almighty gave to Abraham. We're going to really nail this thing down and show the whole truth of this matter. But Revelation chapter 22, let me go there. And so this is the book of Revelation, which they call the last book in the so-called Bible, right? The last book in the Bible, 22nd chapter. So not only are we going to the last book, we're going to the last chapter in the last book. And the 14th verse. So if anything changed, it would have definitely changed by now. The last book, the last chapter, the 14th verse. All right, almost close to the last verse. Look what it says. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Y'all know what city I'm talking about. That holy city called New Jerusalem with the streets of gold and everything. You only get into that city if you receive eternal life. How do you receive eternal life? The Almighty is going to allow you to eat from the tree of life. But how do you get the right to eat from the tree of life? Let me read it again. Verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. If you do his commandments, you have a right to the tree of life. Why? Because that was the agreement all the way in the beginning when the Almighty told our people, if you keep my commandments, you will have life. If you disobey my commandments, you'll have death. The Almighty said, you choose. And the Almighty was talking about the first death and the second death. You know, those commandments were about eternal life even all the way back in the beginning. You'll have life if you do these, all right? And he was specifically talking about the second death, but he was indirectly talking about the first death because by doing his commandments, you're going to have a better life. You're going to live longer. Your health is going to be better. But all men are going to die anyway, the first death. So we know when the Almighty said, keep these commandments and choose life or break the commandments and die, he wasn't talking about the first death specifically. Specifically, he's talking about eternal life because everybody's going to die the first death anyway. And this right here in Revelation 22 and 14 is just summing it up. Now, some people are not going to die the first death. Who is that? Those that are living during the time that the Messiah come back. And we blessed enough to be living in these last days where we could possibly be the generation to see him come back and crack the sky. Then those of us that are living and are righteous will not die. But if you are not living in the days where the Messiah come back, then what? You're going to end up dying and raised from the dead to eternal life if you kept these commandments. If you also had faith, if you also, the Almighty blessed you, if you had faith, you kept the commandments, the Almighty blessed you with grace, and you believe in Yahweh Shah, the Messiah, as your atonement. So you need a combination of faith, your works, which is the commandment. You need grace. You need the faith in the Messiah. And you need repentance. You need a combination of five different things to receive eternal life. All right? What most people do, they read a verse dealing with faith and say, look, it says you're going to be saved by faith. So that's all I need. Yeah, but another verse says you need grace. So what do? You put them together. It's called line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And you should also be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You should also be baptized. This is the mixture, just like if we're making a cake. It's not one ingredient. You don't get flour and scramble it around and think you got a cake. You got to have different ingredients to get the cake. You got to have flour. You got to have sugar. You got to have all these different ingredients. It's the same thing when it comes to salvation for Israel. It's not one thing. And that's the problem. Some people are saying it's just keeping the law. Some people are saying it's just believing the Messiah and nothing else. Some people are saying it's just faith and nothing else. What's wrong with taking all of the ingredients that the Almighty said leads to salvation and put them together? You need the law. You definitely need to believe in the Messiah. You definitely need to have faith. All right? These are part of the mixture that makes eternal life. But I'm going to read this verse 14 again. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Again, I'll give you a little cultural context. When it says do his commandments, when John said this, when John wrote this, there were no New Testament books, even though people act like it's a whole bunch of other new commandments in the New Testament. There's not in the Old Testament. The same commandments in the Old Testament is the same commandments people were doing in the New Testament. All right? So when they said do his commandments, he's talking about what commandments? The same commandments that he gave to Moses and the people back then. So blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. So they're going to have right to the tree of life. Now, who will not be able to come into the city? For without, that means outside of the city, that means you're not getting in, are dogs and sorcerers. If you do sorcery, you cannot enter into the holy city. And whoremongers, if you are a whoremonger, you cannot enter into the holy city. What is a sorcerer and what is a whoremonger? A sorcerer dealing with sorceries. Don't play around with no type of evil demons, fallen angels. Don't talk to them. Don't try to contact them. Don't try to do nothing with them. All right? And whoremongers. So who or what is a whoremonger? A whoremonger is a man that sleeps with women, then leave her alone and go move to the next one, find another one maybe 6 months later to sleep with. Then he leave her alone to go find another one 6 months after that. You are a whoremonger. A whoremonger does not enter the holy city. You're supposed to find a wife. Not making whoremongers or whores out of our daughters. And you're a whoremonger. All right? And murderers. Anybody who shed innocent blood. All right? You go around just shooting people unjustifiably. Nobody was trying to kill you or your family or loved one or anyone innocent. You're allowed to defend the life of someone else that's going to be murdered. All right? You just go around shooting people, killing people in any type of way. You will not enter into that holy city. And idolaters. Modern-day idolaters are called Muslims. Modern-day idolaters are called Christians. Why? Because they do not worship the Elohim of the Holy Scriptures of the Bible. They worship another God or Elohim. Some of them know it, know that they're doing it, but most are deceived. And that's where we come in, to try to stop our people from being deceived. That's where all these Israelite teachers around the country that the Almighty is waking up to stop our people from being deceived. And as I tell y'all before, I'm going to tell y'all again, how do you know if you're deceived? How do you know if you're not deceived? If everything that you believe and how you worship and everything you do, you can read in the scriptures that the Almighty is laying out for us to follow and to go by, then you're not deceived. If you believe things and you worship a certain way and you can't read it in the scriptures, then you are deceived. So ask yourself that question. Everybody, that's Christmas coming up in a couple weeks. Ask yourself the question. Do I read in these scriptures what the Almighty told me on the December the 25th to celebrate Christmas? If you can't read that, you're deceived. Because people with us, people that are connected with us, people that the Almighty has woken up from all, from coast to coast throughout this country and throughout the world, we actually can read the different celebrations that we do. When we come together on a new moon, we can actually open the scriptures and read that why we're coming together on a new moon, that the Almighty wanted us to do it, and the other righteous people in the scriptures did it before us. When we come together on the Sabbath day, we actually turn to the book and read that the Almighty instructed us to come together on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day of the week. When we come together on the Feast of Tabernacles, we putting up tents, we can actually read why we putting up tents and why we come together on this day. So we're not deceived. But those of our brother and our sister, when you come together in all these different celebrations and you can't read nothing about that, you are deceived. Take that in and meditate on it and think about it, you know, and think. 2 months ago when I was with my church, so-called church, and we drove up in our cars and our vans and we opened the back of the trunk and we got all this candy to pass out to these kids in costumes, and my pastor told me that it was a holy wing. Can I read about holy wing in the scriptures? Can I read about trunk or treat? No, he had you doing paganism. And the blood is on his hands, and the blood is also on your hands. Why? Because the Almighty said to show, study to show yourself approved. And it's just that simple. Study to show yourself approved. All right? So, you can't read about none of that paganistic stuff. Don't you know, even the Europeans, as wicked as the Europeans was, the early settlers who came to this country and killed off the people that were here, sold some of them into slavery, killed off the rest, put smallpox in their blankets, chopped a lot of their head off and used their heads for soccer ball. This is documented history. Used their heads for soccer balls and things like that. As wicked as they was, they were still called themselves Christians. And as wicked as all the different acts that I explained that they did, don't you know one thing they did not do? They refused to celebrate Christmas. And they were Christians. The early European settlers who came to this country, Christmas wasn't celebrated for a while. They said, we are not celebrating that pagan day because we know it's wicked and evil. They knew it back in Europe because they was doing it. And they said, we're going to come over here and live better than that and live for God. That's what they said. Even though they were doing wickedly, but in their mind, that's what they said they were trying to do. Come over here and try to live a righteous way. And they did not celebrate Christmas because they knew it was wicked and pagan. Christmas didn't come into many years later when they started to commercialize it and then brought in the paganism through your greed of money. All right? And so Christmas, especially back in Europe, and even today in Europe, it has a whole other character that people don't even know about called Krampus. But, you know, we're going to do a whole teaching about that pretty soon. And, you know,
we'll just break down everything concerning that day, how it all leads back to paganism. But, yeah, I'll just save that for then. But, yeah, so definitely think about that. Meditate on it. You know, those of us that are already in truth, let's continue to try to wake our brothers and sisters up, you know, through love. And love is actually showing them their error, you know, and it is what it is. Just try to speak to them among that. And if they receive it, you won the brother. If they don't, the blood is off your hands. And if they don't, at least you planted a seed, which another brother might grow, you know, might plant another seed later, and the Almighty may get the increase in a year or two or three from there, you know. But either way, it's our job to tell the truth. We are surrounded by lies every day that we wake up, from the time that we wake up. We're surrounded by nothing but falsehood, deception, greed, and lies. You know, the minute you wake your eyes up, you turn on the TV, you turn on the radio, you go out in the world, the minute you do, that's all it is greed and lies out there. All right. But, yeah, so definitely, I definitely want the people, especially the new people that's listening, that's just getting into this truth, you know, think about that. Think about everything you've been told concerning these scriptures, and don't take any of it for granted. Don't take any of it for granted to say, well, I know this is right. I know this is right. Don't come into it with that type of mind state, because you'll never learn and you'll figure out all that stuff was wrong that you thought was right, you know, until you actually start to dig into the scriptures with real knowledgeable brothers that know how to lay down these scriptures and teach them right, because they were blessed by the Almighty to be able to do that. That's where you're going to learn the truth. All right. And none of those people, say it one more time, none of those people are in these Baptist Christian Sunday churches. They're not. If they knew the truth, they wouldn't have you going on Sunday. And that's just what it is. All right. They're not on TV. You're not going to find none of them on TBN, Word Network, none of that stuff. The truth is not there. Like, this, you let that sink into your head. The truth is not on TBN. No matter which one of them people come on there, they're not teaching the truth. The truth is not on TBN. The truth is not on the Word Network. Because this is Satan's kingdom. This is Satan's world. And he is blessing those who he wants. Just like he tried to do to the Messiah. Bow down and worship me, and I give you all the kingdoms of this earth, all the riches. And Satan is still doing that. To those that are doing what? Serving him. To those that are serving his purpose. Because the book of Job let us know, I believe around the 9th chapter and the 24th verse, the earth is given over into the hand of the wicked. And that's what's going on right now. And the wicked is running the world, and they're blessing those that bow down to them. They're blessing those that serve their kingdom and their purpose. So, you know, in order not to be deceived, never forget that. You have to be able to read in the scriptures, because that's what the scriptures were left there for. You have to be able to read in the scriptures what you're doing and what you believe and why you're doing it. When you can't do that, all the different celebrations, then you are one of the ones that deceive. The scripture says Satan deceived the whole world. Except for who? The very elect. And the elect is a small group of people upon the face of the earth. The book of 1 John chapter 2. Let me go there. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 3 and 4. And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of Elohim perfected, whereby we know that we know him. This is how you know that you know the Most High, and this is how you know that you love the Most High, if you keep his commandments. All right, verse 4 said, and he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's the reason why I said you don't get the truth for none of these Sunday churches, none of them, because none of them keep the commandments. None of them keep the Sabbath. None of them keep, you know, the holy days.
like zero, none of them. And these are major commandments that we have to keep. And they saying every Sunday, I know the Most High. The Most High speak to me to teach y'all what the scripture says, you are a liar. He that saith I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. The scripture also says, and I'm quoting this one, all those that keep his commandments have a good understanding. So you wonder why some of y'all don't understand different things, especially when you have good teachers that can really break it down to you because you don't keep the commandments. When you actually start to walk in this, this is the thing that you don't sit down like in school and learn. You have to walk out these commandments, and then you could come and learn them. And then the Almighty will bless you and open your understanding, and you'll be able to understand things more clearer and clearer as you go on. You'll be understand, oh, I understand what this means now. I understand what we're doing now. I understand Psalms 81, verse 3 and 4, when it says, blow the trumpet in the new moon at the time appointed on our solemn feast day. This was a statute for Israel and a law to the Elohim of Jacob. I never understood that before. No church ever explained it. Now I understand now. Why? Because you're actually walking in the law now. Because you're actually keeping every new moon now. Because you're actually keeping the feast of trumpets now. When you do these things, the Almighty bless your understanding, open up your ear where you're able to hear the truth. And the truth sounds so sweet, all right? It sounds much more sweeter than these lies that they've been feeding to us all of these years. Because, to be honest, when you think back, you think, like, I was always confused. I never knew what any of this stuff meant when you actually open a book and you read stuff. That's why they focus on making you feel good with this music. And remember, Satan was a musician. Remember, music and beats are very important, especially among the children of Israel, especially among us. They changed our whole culture through music in the, you know, late 80s and 90s. They changed it through music and the crack epidemic. Before that, we wasn't killing each other. We wasn't killing each other like that. We wasn't even thinking like that or looking to kill each other like that. It was more of a unity thing. Why? Because our music at the time was like songs like self-destruction and things like that, telling you not to kill your brother and not to have hate for your brother. All right? The Europeans quickly realized that wasn't working. We got to endorse some people that's going to, you know, sing about their downfall. And not only sing about their downfall, glorify their downfall. We're the only people on earth that glorify our downfall, that glorify, you know, us killing one another, and glorify our hatred towards one another, and glorify our degradation of our women repeatedly, you know, and don't protect our women. All right, so just going into, you know, everything we got to do concerning these scriptures, everything that we have to do. Let me stay in 1 John. Let me go to chapter 5 now. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and keep his commandments. So this is how you know that you even love the Almighty's people, his children, when you love the Almighty and keep his commandments. For this is the love of Elohim, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So this is the love of the Most High, that we keep his commandments. And those commandments are not what? They're not grievous. They're not hard, because when you love the Most High, you will love to keep those commandments. When you love your brother, you would love to keep those commandments. It becomes a joy unto you then. All right, let's find out. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's see what Isaiah said about it. The 56th chapter. So Isaiah chapter 56. And I think I want Isaiah 56. I don't see what I want in here, so maybe it's 58, Isaiah 58. Yeah, that's it. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. It says, Isaiah 58 and 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yahweh, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words. All right, so this is what the Almighty wants you to do, to honor him on the Sabbath day. Then look what it says in verse 14. Then thou shalt call thyself, or let me start over. Then shalt thou delight thyself in Yahweh, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of Yahweh have spoken it. So the Almighty is saying, look, if you honor my Sabbath and you're doing pleasing things unto me on this day, you calling the Sabbath a delight, not a burden. The Almighty said, then you will delight yourself in Yahweh, and the Almighty will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth. So that's just offering a blessing to you for doing this thing. All right, and you're supposed to call it a delight. So when you're really keeping the day right, you're going to call it a delight. It's going to be a day that you look forward to share with your mishpachah, with your family each and every week, with your brothers and sisters and our little ones every week. And you look forward to that time, and you come together and have a great time. And Leviticus chapter 23 said about the Sabbath that it is a feast. So we should feast on that day. And the book of Jubilee said, you should not fast on the Sabbath day. Why? Because the Sabbath is a feast. It's a day that we should look forward to actually feast together and to sing praises to the Almighty together, to definitely break down and chop up these scriptures together that you'll get an understanding. All right? And so week after week, you're gaining a little and a little more understanding, even if we maybe touch on something that you already knew. Sometimes it's just come out more clarified. All right? You're getting more understanding. We're drawing closer together and building a relationship together where we know one another and trust one another and our children. And all these different things is happening on this one day, and it's beautiful in the sight of the Almighty. And this is what the Almighty intended us to do, all right, to be a family in that way and to be a family in that matter. But let's see, concerning that, let me hit Luke 4 and 16. Then I might switch gears again, but yeah, let me just hit this Luke 4 and 16 first. And for those that don't know, the Torah is the first five books. The Torah is the law books, and it is also, the word Torah means instructions. So Torah means instructions. Why? Because within those books, the instructions were given. The instructions on, you know, all the different aspects of life that we go through, you know, as far as clothes to wear, what to eat, what not to eat, how relationships should go, you know, what type of wife we should have, should not have, what type of wife we should seek for, you know, how we should raise our children, all these different things. The Torah is the instructions. So how do you have a nation together and you don't have no instructions? You don't have no laws to live by. You know, that's what our people don't realize when they say, oh, the law's done away with. That's like having a whole nation, like when America was set up and they never set up a constitution. Nobody ever had a law. Everybody just did their own thing. It'd still be like the Wild Wild West all over the place, you know? So, you know, everybody, most human beings, most of them are wicked. The righteous are very few in number. So then if you don't have no law set up at all, every nation have laws set up. The Torah is just our laws that the Almighty gave us that we live by. All right? But every nation, you have to have laws in order to be a people. How are you going to govern yourself? You know? Men will just be raping women out of nowhere, evil men. And then what? No consequence, no law, no anything. So people that say the law is done away with just don't understand what they're saying. And then most of the people, no, not most, I would say 99% of the people that say that don't even know what the laws are. They don't even know what they're saying. If the law is done away with, then you're saying that the Almighty is fine with us committing murder then? That you could just kill somebody that have done nothing to you and done nothing, you know, worthy of death? Of course that's not done away with. Of course that's not looked at as an okay thing to do in the eyes of the Most High. We already read in the book of Revelation chapter 22 where the Almighty said murderers will not be able to enter the holy city. Why can't they enter the holy city? Because obviously the law still stands even in that, the last chapter of the last book. All right, so Luke 4 and 16, look what it says. It says, and he came to Nazareth, talking about the Messiah, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So what was the Messiah's custom to do? Go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That's what we do every single week. We go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Going back to what I said earlier, we can actually read what we do. We can actually read that the Messiah did these things. So who are the real Christians? If Christian means to some people, if a Christian means a follower of Christ, then it looks like we the only ones that's following Christ. Because Christ went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. We go to Israel Now Synagogue every Sabbath day. Christians don't ever keep the Sabbath day. Whether you are a witness who be knocking on your door, that's not keeping the Sabbath. Because after they knock on your door and tell you lies, they go out to eat at a restaurant. And they go to do whatever they want to do for the rest of the day. Whether you are Baptist, they're not following Christ. Christ kept the Sabbath day every week as his custom was. I mean, he always did. The Methodist, the Catholics, the Episcopalian, you name them, they don't keep the Sabbath day. 99% of them. So put them in the you are deceived bucket. All right? That's where they belong, in the deceived bucket. Because they cannot read what they're doing. They're actually reading the opposite from what they're doing, and they still don't get it. That's why them pastors and all those Sunday churches, they keep you out of the book. They say, open your book to Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. And they say, and Christ was, or it says, and Christ being full of the Holy Ghost. Then they say, stop, close your Bible. That's all they're going to read. Then they're going to philosophize to you for the next hour about how Christmas is coming up and it's a good season and everybody should be nice to each other, and we should do this and do that, and then they're going to take up an offering and get a bunch of money, and then they're going to play them songs that y'all like that sound sweet to your ears, and that's going to be the day. And you think, you leave there, and you think somebody just taught you the word of the Almighty. But what actually happened was, you fell deeper into the sinkhole. That's what just happened. Because now you start to think that these things that you heard are somewhere in this book. Yeah, he didn't read them, but you assume it's in there. He's just telling me. He just ain't read it. It's in there somewhere. So now when we come and tell you the truth, guess what that sound like to you? The truth sound like a lie. When we say, hey, we kept the Feast of Tabernacles, we getting ready to gear up for the new year, like in March, April, whatever's going to come up this year, this and that. We getting ready to keep the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they like, well, I ain't never heard of that. What Bible you go by? You must read a different Bible. It's in all the Bibles. I don't care if you read the King James Version, the Witness Bible, which is the New World Translation, the NIV, the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, the New King James Version, the Holy Scriptures Version, the New Jerusalem Version, is in all of them. And that's another thing that people that don't actually read the Scriptures seem to think. They seem to think that these different versions of the Bible say different things. They're just saying the same thing in different ways. Some verses may be different, but the overall message, we could teach the same message with any version out there.
Every version gonna tell you to keep the Sabbath. Every version tell you the Messiah kept the Sabbath. Every version tell you the same holy days, from the Sabbath to Passover, unleavened bread. They're just written a little different. One may say, these are my feasts, even holy convocations. Another one will say it like, these are the celebrations of the Lord that you shall gather together. It's just the same thing in a different way of expressing it. They're all going to say the same thing. None of them is going to tell you to keep Easter. At least not yet. But we're living in the last day, so I'm sure some wicked person is working on it right now, writing the Bible to say you should keep Easter. But there will be no historical context for it. Meaning, the original writers never wrote that. But they realized, or they would have did it by now, they realized they don't have to do that because y'all going to do it anyway, no matter what the scriptures say. The scriptures is stand there as a witness against you. It's either a witness for you or it's a witness against you. Those of us that obey the Almighty and keep his commandments, it's a witness for us, not against us. All right, so with that being said, I'm down to about, you know, 9 more minutes of the show. If anybody want to get on, push number 1. I get your question or comment. But if not, I'm going to just kind of go out with a another song or two. And just want to say again, shalom, shalom to the listening audience. Also want to remind y'all the Men's Conference, Cincinnati, Ohio, this Friday and Sabbath day, December the 21st and 22nd. Also, we're having the brew out in Cincinnati, Ohio as well. It's going to be big. February the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Again, we're going to have, you know, Hebrew culture on full display. As my Octave Service say, Hebrew fashion show. Of course, getting into the word on the Sabbath day. A bunch of truth music from Tassel Gang, Mind Culture, Dawid from Atlanta will be up. Our other brother, Prince Dawid, will be here as well. And then we'll have other various artists as well with Israel Now and other artists, Hebrew artists, you know, that's going to come from different parts of the country. So it's going to be a beautiful time. And definitely try to make it if you can. You don't want to miss it. We're going to have a beautiful time. With that being said, let me go into the last couple of songs.
KK on the track.
I got that ruin, haka dad, making Satan getting mad. Cause I'm barely doing my dad, and the most I got my bag. Hey, happy, don't be sad. When we finna get a bag, been about to put a mad. Cause you know it's the Shabbat. I got that ruin, I got that ruin, I got that ruin, I got that ruin, he got that ruin, they got that ruin, she got that ruin, they got that ruin. I got the ruin, haka dad, send the dog on pad. Hey, they stood up like a man. Prophecies are philosophies. You can copy Mr. K. I see. Gotta have faith, I must see. Blessing for your brother. People, you should too. If you knew what this world would do to you. Because since I ate it too. But we got the Ruah.
I got that Ruah. Haka dad, making Satan getting mad. Cause I'm barely doing my dad. And the most I got my bag. Hey, happy, don't be sad. When we finna get a bag. Been about to put a mad. Cause you know it's the Shabbat.
I got that Ruah.
I got that Ruah. I got that ruwa, I got that ruwa, he got that ruwa, they got that ruwa, she got that ruwa, they got that ruwa.
I know y'all tired of the dealing and killing from all your cheering. Regardless, you believe or receive it, we got the spirit.
Turn back the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. And if we do so, we do damage all on this planet. Cause we chosen, we go in like oil sheen on a protein. That ruwa talk to dad, to the reason for my flowing. We posting, no roaches, we so lit, we go get the most out behind us. So nothing we can't win.
I got that ruwa talk to dad, making Satan getting mad. Cause I'm barely doing my dad, and the most I got my bag. Hey,
hey, happy, don't be sad. When we finna get a bag, been about to put a mad, cause you know it's just a bag. I got that ruah, I got that ruah, I got that ruah, I got that ruah, he got that ruah, they got that ruah, she got that ruah, they got that ruah. This for Ruben,
this for Ruben,
this for Dan.
Bread tape, you're seeking bread, wait. We trying to serve it till you come and get it on your plate.
Bread tape, bread tape, this the bread tape. I will never let them demons get it off my plate.
Bread tape, bread tape, you're seeking bread, wait. We trying to serve it till you come and get it on your plate. Yeah.
Where my nation at? Time to get on deck. Melchizedek, king and priest got the bread, about to fill them with that. Search scripts every day, simple biblical act. Overthrow your attack. A pile of thorns from the heavenly throne, proceeding word from the Father, don't let fire alone, turn water to wine, say you try to convince them to make bread from a stone. Ezekiel swag, I want to eat this roll, scripts to scroll, it's time to undry these bones, we the one that you mold. Yahweh Shah was the real man that didn't sing bread, worms and mold. Hey, bread tape, chasing the kingdom like I'm in last place, get the leaven out of you quick, now that's while receiving his word. Dan and Ty, what a mighty Yah we serve. Bread tape,
bread tape, you seeking bread, wait. We trying to serve it till you come and get it on your plate.
Bread tape, this is bread tape. I will never let them demons get it off my plate.
Bread tape, like bread tape, you seeking bread, wait. We trying to serve it till you come and get it on your plate. Yeah.
Bread tape, bread tape, this is bread tape. I will never let them demons get it off my plate.
That's the problem with the nation, we don't want the peace. False leaders getting ready to accept the beast. Everything fleece, all that talk cheap. Talk big on the tube till your face weak. Getting hype for nothing with emotional speech. If you can't show me scripts, you should hold your lips. Moses packed the rock so they can take a sip and didn't drip. Rain rain from heaven, purging leaven, little leaven, leaven's the whole lump. Turn on the light, darkness flee from amongst us. I'm strapped with the word, I never put my gun up. A nation divided over these petty vain things. It might seem strange, only a few go change. Go hey, why hate is how you spell the name. If you steal, you will seek out to find out what that means. Elohim, yeah.
For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an effort, and without a tephorah.
So, let's look at that verse 4 again. It says, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. That's us right now. We don't have a king. Without a prince, we don't have a prince. Without a sacrifice, we're not doing sacrifices right now. As a whole nation of people, we don't have a sacrifice because most of our people don't even accept the sacrifice that was offered. Most of our people don't accept your homicide as a sacrifice. And I'm talking about even the people who think they do, as far as Christianity. They accept a whole other Messiah, not the Messiah in this book. They came to the Messiah and said, how do we know you're the true Messiah? He said, the only sign that will be given to you is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, 3 daylight periods. When it's light outside, when the sun is out, and 3 nights, 3 nighttime periods when it's dark and the moon is up. Not 3 days like 1, 2, 3, any part of 3. No, he said 3 days, 3 daylight periods, and 3 nights. He said this is the only sign that will be given unto you. So if you believe a Messiah died on Friday night and rose Sunday morning, and that's not 3 daylight periods and 3 nighttime periods, then you have a whole nother Messiah. Because that was the sign to know that he the true Messiah. And since you have a whole nother Messiah, that's why you have a whole nother doctrine.
This is Truth Music. Israel, stand up.